All right, welcome into the final hour of the Chase and Big Joe Show right here on 102.5 The Game. Chaser's off for this last hour. He's doing a Zoom with a bunch of young professionals around the country for his – look, he's an amazing cloud architecture storage guy. He's got all kinds of awards from LinkedIn. So Chase is doing a little roundtable discussion, Zoom, about – optimizing everything with the cloud storage and it's a whole world I don't know nothing about, Dr. Crane.
Yeah, I'm kind of right there with you. Even though I'm 27, I'm still learning technology. Just give me a mouse and click on it, and that's about it.
Yeah, you're not on that level at all that's happening. I want to delve more into this Nick Saban. People asking about that Nick Saban and National Predators. Chase had the release, and I know I can't find it. So we will do it there. There it goes. So smash for the Predators. Smashville just got that much better. Nick Saban and his partner Joe Agresti have joined the Preds ownership group via Dream Sports Ventures with a minority stake in the franchise. And that's that little cute picture of Nick smiling there. Have you seen it?
Got a little tan to him.
He does. His partner, though, is all business.
Have you seen his last name?
Agresti, yeah. Agresti, yeah. So I better be nice to him, right, for all that?
Yeah, I'm sure he's a good guy.
This is cool. You know, it brings more eyeballs on the franchise. It's seven-time national champion college football coach and partner joined Bill Haslam as part of the NHL franchise established ownership group. What do you think Nick Saban would come in and change? Not just the Pret, but if he was – because you know he's going to come in and say, I don't like this, I don't like that, do this, do that.
I don't know. That's a good question. I think hockey's landscape is a bit different from college football, especially. Like, college football has that, you know, extroverted personality. Fans are going crazy. You have frat parties during the morning, and you have kickoff at 2:30 and all that stuff. Hockey's different. Like, the atmosphere around a hockey game, if it's a cold night in December – You're walking to the arena, and the atmosphere in the building is fantastic because you have all the light show and stuff like that. Maybe he brings in more, more A-list celebrities. I really don't know.
I think he does nothing. I think it's a welcome reprieve from the craziness of college football to go back and like, all right, this is fun. It's different because I haven't been to a lot of hockey games outside Nashville, but going to one in Nashville is pretty damn fun.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it with other players and coaches as well. Dak Prescott, one of those. He's not a local in Nashville, but Dallas Cowboy quarterback, former Mississippi State quarterback. He's been to multiple, you know, Preds games.
Giannis
Antetokounmpo.
How do you say his last name?
Antetokounmpo? I don't know. It's Greek.
Let's get you drunk and say that.
Yeah, let's not.
But he owns part of the
soccer club, Nashville SC,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, he actually showed up for the League's Cup in 2023, and that was the first time I've ever seen an NBA player in person, active NBA player.
So, anybody else? Reese Witherspoon owned part of that? Yep. Philip Forsberg owned
Derrick
part of
Henry.
That? Derrick Henry.
Eddie George, I believe.
Like, when we say own, like, what did they own? Like, a percentage?
A minority stake, yeah. Just like Nick Saban here with the Preds.
I mean, if you need to keep the lights on, you call Derrick Henry and say, hey, Derrick, we've got to pay the light bill this month. We need your help. I mean, I don't know what you would get or how much that would cost because I'll never be in that realm of, hey, I want to be on a part of ownership a team of anything.
I mean, if you look at it, this is kind of how I look at professional sports. I'm sure the same way for you, but you look at it as stocks. I mean, the team you're invested in is doing great. The stock rises. That price tag gets bigger. You want to sell it off, there you go. You've made your ROI. And I think then you go find another small club or another small team, buy into them, see if you can get them to a giant success story, buy out of that. I mean, that's essentially what it is. It's a craving for people that have the want to be a part of professional sports,
yeah,
but want to make money as well.
Would you buy a sports team?
Yeah, if I had the money, sure.
What would you buy?
I love the aspect of going from terrible to great. So maybe a soccer club somewhere. Okay. And like,
didn't Ryan Reynolds do that?
Yeah, Wrexham.
In London, England.
Wrexham FC, they were actually a club that was owned by the city, and they were in so much debt, like they weren't able to basically pay the lights for the stadium that they played in, and so they were in so much debt they had to keep continuously winning. Obviously, a lot of their own money went into it to where they could finally get out of debt. Now the club is debt-free, and they're playing at top-tier level.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, that's a fun little story.
Yeah, so stuff like that, I feel like what intrigues a lot of people. Everybody thinks that they're the best GM on planet Earth, the right. armchair GMs, that is. So something like that.
I don't think I deal well with drama. So if an athlete, if I own a team and they're not playing and they're holding out, I'd have a problem with that. Right, and that's not a good look. It's not good for my mental health. It's not good for me overall. I just couldn't do it.
If you had the money, what sport would you invest in?
Football. Okay. I love football more than anything else. I just love the sport of football. It means so much to me. But I don't think I could own a team. I don't.
What about a college team? Because that landscape is changing, Joe.
It could, right? But you got more headaches, right? You still got more headaches.
Yeah, I mean, the Big 12 just had a...
Let me ask you, does Jerry Jones look happy?
No. No, not at all.
He doesn't, right?
I think the man has so much money that he doesn't know what to do with himself, and the fact that he goes on the radio saying, I better get a Super Bowl before I die.
Right.
Like,
The flip side, Robert Kraft looks happy because you know why.
He's got Vrabel. He's got everybody he needs.
There's a larger joke there that you need to look into that. But no owner looks happy. None of them look happy. So why do that? Baseball? I mean, across the board, give me an owner that looks elated every time that there's something. They show them on TV, happy, go lucky. I'm sure there's some out there, but I can't think of any right now.
What about the Davis family in Las Vegas?
Have you seen that haircut? No, you can't be happy about that. No, I mean, you just – but, yeah, I mean, he's got a 24-year-old girlfriend who allegedly has no idea who he was, just met him and thought he was cute. I mean, come on, right? Sure you did. But you're living in Vegas. You got a huge house. You own the Raiders and the Aces, right?
Las Vegas Aces, WNBA.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he looks happy, but now you're dealing with a football team that's 2-12, probably going to fire your coach and retool. It's just constant work. I'd rather my money work for me instead of me working for the money. That's a commercial, by the way.
Yeah, Major League Baseball would be a good investment. I know a lot of people say, oh, Major League Baseball, the numbers are not great, whatever, but there is money to be had in that sport.
What team would you buy, the Cardinals?
Yeah, I would fix that team immediately.
Then why'd you get rid of Sonny Gray?
Oh, he was old. There's no reason to hold on to a guy when you have so much youth in your farm system.
Red Sox don't seem to mind.
Well, the Red Sox are in a different scenario. They're kind of in a win now. They just need to bolster their pitching staff. I mean,
shouldn't everybody be in a win now?
Not everybody.
So then what are we doing if you're not in a win now?
Ask the Oakland Athletics that, or Sacramento Athletics. They're going to be the Las Vegas Athletics. And to this day, I still think they're going to be a really good ball club when they go to Vegas. It's just pick and choosing in your battles. That's simply it.
Okay, but none of them seem to be happy to me. What would you fix with the Cardinals?
Oh, clean house. Basically just get a new staff in there. I think Chaim Bloom, will see what happens with that. But nobody wants to hear my baseball takes.
I do.
You do? Really?
I mean, I'm just curious why you'd buy.
Well, I mean, that's a historic franchise that's known for winning baseball games and winning championships, and they haven't seen that since 2011. And that's something that needs to come back to the fold for sure.
I would, to be successful, lower prices and have your games on TV every night that you don't have to pay for. That's what I think that's how I fell in love with, I know cable and I get all that, but have it to the local market free. Have those games free. I would love to have that.
I would like to see the Nashville Sounds on local television.
Why not? You know,
I think that would grow the game, especially here in Nashville.
I mean, you put on one of these digital 2.8 channels, people, it's not clogging up anything, but I don't know, man. I'm different with all that, with things that go on. I just think that there are better things to do than being an owner. There's just always grief. There's always drama. There's always a problem. You're always battling with the city council over land or improvements. It just seems like a lot, man.
I mean, getting back to the genesis of the reason for the conversation with Nick Saban, to me, Nick Saban brings structure to a front office. I know there's already a structure of formation for the Preds, but I think being a minority owner in some aspects, and Nick Saban brings that extra presidential status, if that makes sense.
It sounds good.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what all he's going to do, but it just looks good that he's bought in to the Predators, which is great. I mean, it's great publicity, great for the city. I love the Preds. all works out fine. All right, our question today is, what's the leap of faith in your life? We've got a lot of responses. We'll read those coming back. 615-737-1025. What's the biggest leap of faith in your life you've ever taken? We'd love to hear these stories. Let us know. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel, where we'll be at Bar Lines on Thursday. Come down and see us right here on 102.5 The Game. All right, welcome back here to the Chase and Big Joe Show. Who sings that song?
It's from the Goofy movie.
The Goofy?
Yeah, Goofy movie, Disney, yeah. You never heard of that?
Yeah, I've heard of the Goofy movie.
Yeah, it doesn't say, though.
Okay. I'm just curious. That's just that's a different comeback music there. It's fine.
What, leap of faith? That's kind of what I was trying to match it up with.
All right. Our question of the day, what's the biggest leap of faith you've ever taken? 615-737-1025. You could call or text, but we love to hear from you. Eric's on the phone. All right, Eric, what did I screw up?
No, it's nothing. You didn't screw up. You didn't screw up nothing, Joe. Although I will say this, there was a recent actor you talked about, didn't know what he appeared in. He was in a famous TV series as a child, but you I guess did what listed. You were talking about Brian Bonsall. If you remember, he was on the TV show Family Ties. He was that little boy, Andy.
That's right. That's right.
Alex's brother. So, yeah, I'm surprised that you didn't put that as part of the thing. He wasn't the baby. He, of course, was the older kid that was the last few years of that show.
Can you name all the kids their real names?
Brian Bonsall, Michael J. Fox, Tina Yelders, and Justine Bateman.
My man. Good job.
If you know, too, in real life, his wife is Tracy Pollan, who was his girlfriend Ellen on the show. And, of course, after that, Courtney Cox, who went on to become Friends.
Look at you, man. Got it on. And by the way, Meredith Baxter Burney and Michael Gross were the mom and dads, and they had the same.
Yeah, that's right.
And they had the same birthday, which is really a weird fact.
Yeah.
All right, now that we've lost our audience, what's up, man?
What's going on? And also something else, I didn't know if you knew, but I figured you'd want to know if you did. Mushroom Cloud Clay is supposed to be meeting with Candace Story Lee sometime today to try and get reinstated back at Mandeville.
He sent me a text and said he's meeting with Candace Lee at 3 o'clock, and I said, I hope she arrests you for being on campus.
this may be his last chance. But anyway, as far as my leap of faith, guys, it has to do with this. This has happened to me within the last few years. I'm 62 years old. I had to have hip replacement surgery, so I've been dealing with a lot of just issues concerning that. And one of the things I had to do was find a good representation to get my disability benefits. Of course, my sister works in hospital administration. She told me, be prepared. When you try and get disability, you're not going to get it right off. You're going to get turned down, and it could take you forever, because she was telling me most of her clients and people she deals with and trying to help them, it can take them 3 to 5 years to get disability. My uncle told me it could take forever. Just be ready. You're going to get turned down the first time. So last year, I guess at the beginning of January, I filed for my medical records. That took me 6 to 8 months. And then I got me a social worker from with the people I was dealing with, and she said, tell me the same thing. Eric, get ready. You're going to get turned down. Just whatever you do, it just always happens. You're going to get turned down. You're not going to get your disability. So I made the phone call to the people I was supposed to make as far as get my disability. They told me to call back 3 weeks later. So I called back 3 weeks later. They told me what I had to do, where I need to file paperwork, because I had got like 300 pages of medical records. But I filed like the first 10, 11. She said that's later the social workers represent me, saying that's all you would need. So then I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to have to wait probably 6 months to a year before I hear anything. And more than likely, I'm going to get turned down. So that was August of last year I did that. October, middle October, I get two letters. First letter saying, congratulations, you've been approved for your disability. It's going to be deposited in your bank account on like October the 15th. It actually was deposited in my bank account the 12th, because on that same day, I got a letter from my bank showing all the money I got. So basically, I was not turned down. I got all my money in a total of 61 days. I was lucky that 1 in 10 that I did not get turned down. I got all my money in basically 2 months, and I was shocked. Not that I got it, but I got it as quickly as I did, so I didn't get turned down. And the good thing about it is I did not have to get a lawyer to represent me, because if I had to get a lawyer to represent me, I would have to pay him a third off the top, which means I got to keep an additional $8,000 because I didn't have to go get a lawyer. So that's kind of my leap of faith. I went through all the proper procedures, channels, and just everything, the hurdle I had to jump through got resolved quickly. It took me longer to get my medical records than it did to get the actual disability, which I was shocked about. So that's kind of my leap of faith story.
How are you doing now?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. I'm also meeting with a financial planner about my 401k, trying to get an annuity where I can get some more money in that. I still got my disability money, so things now are looking up for me after going through all that rough period, you know, being in pain, hip replacement surgery, just all the hoops I had to jump through to deal with that disability. I'm definitely moving around a lot better. So that I'm doing fantastic.
Oh, fantastic. Good. Thanks, buddy. Thanks for sharing. That's a good news story. Thank you, brother.
Right.
Appreciate you.
Take care.
All right, Eric, that's good there. Michaelis Cassis says, don't read on air, okay? I'm not going to read that on. I was about to read it, Mike. You shouldn't send that to us. Let's see what else we got here. We got a bunch of these that came in. Jeremy in Clarksville, my biggest leap of faith, either jumping out of an airplane 100 times or landing in a military aircraft. Either is an iffy proposition. Well done. Our friend Todd Rodermill, Music City Todd at the Omni, said he's jumped out of an airplane half dozen or dozen times. Take that is a true, literal leap of faith to do that. 2518 says, here's another don't see on air. You guys quit texting us don't see on air stuff. We like to share your positive stories. That's a nice story. I would love to have shared there, 2518. With all that to do on. Let's see another one that's come flying in here so fast and furious.
Jump out of a plane, Joe?
I will not. My brother does all the time. I would not. I can't do it.
You'd pass out or something?
I think I'm chicken. You know what? I couldn't do it, right? Like, I'm scared of heights, but it's weird being in an airplane. Like, I'm not so scared of it, but I think if I jumped out, I'd be like, what are you doing?
So why'd you ask me to rappel off the side of Omni not too long ago?
Because you're connected to, like, five different cables. You're not going to fall down. And that is a fear I had of heights. Then I rappelled down the side of the First Tennessee Building, and it was great. I got stuck halfway down, and I couldn't work out for a week because it burned my biceps so much. But I did something I was scared to do, and I did it. You'd be fine. I told you, I got taunted by the Chick-fil-A cow. He shows up, hooks up, and says, are you going down? I'm like, maybe. He's like, well, I'll see you at the bottom. And the Chick-fil-A cow, as he's going down, is taunting me, calling me names.
He said, my pleasure, as he passed you by?
He did, and that drove me crazy. It drove me crazy. So the Chick-fil-A cow taunts me going down the side of a building, and he rappelled down. So, I mean, sometimes you got to do things you're afraid of. I just don't think I am. Like, when I go to Gatlinburg, they have those indoor parachute things. I've always been too big. I can't do that because you got to weigh like 200 pounds or less. I haven't weighed 200 pounds in like sixth grade. So I can't do that stuff. So have you jumped out of a plane?
No, I've gone ziplining though in Gatlinburg.
That is nowhere near the same.
Yes, it is.
How?
Trust me. You go on one of those zip lines, you're propelled over the like tree line, drops about 200, 300, 500 feet. Some of them just depend on how deep they go because you're in the mountains.
So all you can do is hook up to a zip line and go. This way you actually get into a plane.
No, but you could cut your finger off. The way you stop, it's like the little hand thing they use.
Why are you doing stuff to cut your fingers off?
It's a daredevilish thing, I guess. I don't know. But you get to see like six different, you know.
States?
States, yeah. It's beautiful.
Did you go from Lookout Mountain down to Chattanooga?
Probably.
I'm not. Plus, I think that thing would snap with me on it.
No, there were some people that were quite hefty that went on this.
But you need to rappel down the side of a building. That would probably cure one of your fears.
I mean, I'll be all over the news.
What's your biggest fear?
Being stuck in an elevator and the elevator just falls to my ultimate death.
That's mine is stuck in an elevator. We didn't talk about this.
No.
Mine is being stuck in an elevator. I will not be.
I've been stuck once, and I immediately started slamming on the wall. I said, somebody get me out of here, and somebody pressed the button, and it opened right up.
Oh, good.
But it wouldn't open up on the inside. I said, I told him, I was like, there's something wrong with this elevator. The inside doesn't work, but the outside's fine.
So if you'll notice, if you ever ride an elevator with me, first thing I do is I reach up and I hit the ceiling, like John McClane in Die Hard, to see if that is I can get out of the elevator that way. I'm not kidding. That's not a joke. I'm scared to death of the elevator.
I hate when people jump in the elevator. Like, you know, when you reach a certain room level or whatever.
And they start jumping.
And they jump when you're about to get off. Like, why do that?
Yeah, I'm like, with you on that.
You're really causing a pain in my side right now.
I'm with you 100%. So, yeah, well, that's another question for another day. What are you deathly afraid of? Number two, snakes.
I'll be all right with that.
You know, I'm terrified of them.
I helped kill a snake once.
Don't say that on air.
Well, it was a fake one.
You can't, then what? Huh?
You know, the rubber ones.
Okay. Is it not illegal to kill snakes in Tennessee unless you're being threatened?
Yeah, it's a certain snake, I believe. Yeah. No.
I thought it's any snake.
I don't know.
I thought if you're being threatened by a snake verbally, like they're talking smack to you, you can, like, hey, not today, pal.
I don't know.
But I was told that you cannot kill a snake unless you're threatened.
Yeah, I was pretty threatened, I guess. I was four.
Somebody on our text line will weigh in. Let us know if that's illegal, because I think it is.
Well, a four-year-old me didn't know what's going on.
They just run fast. All right, we'll take another break. Again, this is the Chase and Big Joe Show. Celebrity birthday's coming up at 2:40. We'll need somebody to sit in for Chase McCabe, because right now he's doing a Zoomed LinkedIn cloud certification seminar with students around the country. So we'll talk about that. All right, we'll take another break. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel, right here on 102.5 The Game. There we go. You press the button. It's amazing and crazy how it works when you do that. Welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show here on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel. Chase McCabe stepped out for a little bit. Dr. Crane with us until 3 o'clock today. We'll get you ready for a really good show, DVD, much better than the nonsense we spew from 12 to 3 every day. But anyway, part of the same family. Did you watch the Monday night game last night, the Steelers and the Dolphins?
I did.
I was watching it, and I was in the confines of my home, cold, because watching the game last night, and the Dolphins are Tua still hasn't won in the game under 40 degrees. I know they make that a big deal, but, I mean, I get it. I'm not – that looked so uncomfortable last night that I was, like, uncomfortable.
Yeah, you know, I was surprised at the, I guess, play calling late in the fourth quarter. They score, but it was a five-minute drive when they needed to score with some urgency, and Troy Aikman was spot on with it. He was just confused with how they managed the clock. I was confused because you're down 21 points at one point or 18 points, and you score a late drive with 5 minutes to go, and now you got 2 minutes left. Like, what are they doing? Like, that's what I was like. What in the world is Miami doing?
I thought it was funny when they showed Mike McDaniel early in the game and his glasses were fogged up. And I'm like, just how are you going to – because I wear readers. You wear glasses. When they get fogged up, it's very annoying.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, what's he going to do there? And then, like, they showed him earlier, like, only one side was fogged up, like, for most of the game.
Well, I mean, that's why Tua only threw to one side of the field.
We're talking about your head coach, man. Mike McDaniel earlier today opened the door to a possible quarterback change, saying everything's on the table after Tua's performance Monday night's loss against the Steelers. They're paying him $45 million a year. They are not benching Tua Tagovailoa. They're not
Tagovailoa.
They're not benching him. They're not.
I think it's an option they probably should look into.
You're not going to pay a guy $45 million to sit on the bench. You're not doing that.
When somebody's gone.
Well, it's not going to be your quarterback you're paying $45 million to. It's not happening. He was 22 of 28 for 250, two touchdowns, interception. Oh, but touchdowns came in the fourth quarter when they're trailing 28.
Garbage time. Yep. I was about to say, you just keep reading that, Joe.
They got that field. They have Zach Wilson, who the number two pick from the Jets in 2021. They also have Quinn Ewers on the team.
See what the rookies got.
Tagovailoa signed a four-year, $212 million extension, 2024, after the NFL in passing yards in 23. He missed a career-high six games last season. While he's been durable in 2025, he leads the league in interceptions with a career-high 15 and 14 games. So the Dolphins play the Bengals, who are 4-10 on Sunday. That leads us to the Titans and the Chiefs on Sunday at Nissan Stadium. And the question is, what kind of team is going to show up for the Kansas City Chiefs? Now, they're without Mahomes. They're out of playoff contention. Most of these guys have been in the playoffs. Now you're playing for really pride on Sunday, and I think the Titans could come out and really, and y'all are going to hate this, win these last couple of games.
Well, I was talking about that with Jake earlier this morning. Like, this could kind of situate to a point where the Titans might win out. Because, again, we don't know what happens with Jacksonville in the last week of the season. If they end up clinching a spot for the playoffs, they could be resting players.
Right.
You look at the Saints game, and it looks like Tyler Shaw is kind of turning.
What the hell's going on down there? They're knocking off teams left and right.
Yeah, that's an anomaly in some aspects. So you got to look at those two games where Titans might squeak out a win against them, and then the Chiefs without Patrick Mahomes. I mean, again, and Jake made a great point about this. What motivated Chiefs team is going to come into Nashville without Mahomes, right?
Right. And you could say, well, they're playing for the pride. I get all that. But this is the first time since 2014, I think, that the Chiefs have been out of the playoffs.
Right.
So a lot of these guys are in the playoffs year after year after year. Even Chris Jones, their great defensive lineman, his first question was like, hey, how do you feel now you've been knocked out of the playoffs? He's like, what? He had no idea. They're that focused on that they expected to be there. They're not going to be there. But this is – and, like, they're about like, well, you know, we want that number one – you know, well, look, number one pick, is it working out for you this year? Well, not really, right? There's a lot of factors with Cam Ward, but no matter where I just don't understand the whole don't win draft choice. I don't understand that. I really don't understand the mentality of being a loser.
Well, I understand it from a – roster structure standpoint, but from a winning culture standpoint, it makes no sense.
No, you don't. You can't.
Yeah.
I'm not built that way to think about losing. Are you?
No.
You're not. I mean, so don't take that back.
What do you mean take that back?
From a roster thing. You don't want
from
to
a
lose.
Roster standpoint, no. Yeah. That's exactly what – no, I'm right on that. What are you talking about?
Don't be a loser. Think about losing.
No, it's called calculating your future. That's what it's called.
So to get a better roster pick, you want your team to lose?
No, you basically get rid of players that could actually help you in some aspects, and you go reload in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. But don't think we need to tank on, oh, they ruined their chances if they win.
No, I'm not encouraging tanking, Joe. I'm not encouraging that.
I know you're not.
I'm not encouraging the aspect of losing out. I mean, look, if you can go out there and – line up 11 guys on each side of the ball and go and win a football game, congratulations. Because that just, again, it goes to the point I made earlier today. There are a lot of guys on this roster that are probably trying to collect some good tape for other teams.
Sure.
Or they're trying to collect tape for
that's
themselves.
That's your motivation.
Yeah, to learn what they can build on for next season.
That's your motivation. And so you got this team coming in here, the Chiefs are like, and you got the Titans. Meh. I mean, I bet your ticket price is plummeted.
Yeah, Jake actually was asking about that. He goes, I wonder what Chiefs fans are doing with their tickets. I'm like, they're probably just giving them away and including a breakfast with it because there's no way you make your money back.
I think if you're a Chiefs fan, you still go to the game because that's your team. I mean, you bought the tickets, you're making the travel arrangements, you're coming to see your Chiefs play, right? I would not know why you would get rid of your tickets that way.
Every week we always kind of chat off the air about, oh, I wonder how many people are going to be at this game this week for the Titans. Like, this could be one of those games where it could be very, very low. I think so.
Well, imagine next week when all that with the Saints come rolling in here. I want to see what the ticket prices are now at Nissan Stadium. I can go to a little website and see what the prices are for Sunday's game. The lowest price is $31.
Cheddar.
$31 right now, the lowest price to the game here. Not that's according to the SeatGeek that's happening this. Yeah, $31.
I love that.
I mean, temperature supposed to be in the 50s to do all this. 44 Bills, Browns, 25 Chargers at the Cowboys, 34 Bengals at 34 Bengals at Dolphins. How much do you think tickets are for the Jets Saints on Sunday? You've got 3-11 versus 4-10. I'd go because I'm a secret Saints fan. I'd go this game in the Superdome. But how much do you think tickets are?
Cheapest ticket. I'll go $11.
$13.
Oh, so close. My best friend's going to the game.
Buccaneers at Panthers.
Buccaneers at Panthers. That's for the division.
Tickets, low price tickets are?
$48.
$106.
Okay. All right.
That is for the division, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the Saints have beaten both those teams the last 2 weeks.
Again, nobody knows what's going on with the Saints.
Jags at Broncos. That is?
That's $200 ticket. Got to be.
$207. That's a big – I remember when Peyton was there, man, the Jags played out in Denver, and they were a 21-point underdog. And that's the highest spread I'd ever seen. And the Broncos covered the spread against them. Because, man, no one ever bet against me because I just know what I'm doing.
Hey, I'm a Price is Right fiend, so you keep naming these off, Joe. I'm going to get them.
Falcons at the Cardinals. What's the ticket price there?
Falcons, Cardinals, $39.
$14. Oh, we've got a higher price. Steelers at the Lions. Oh, that'd be a good game.
That's going to be a good game.
Lowest ticket price is?
$114.
$234.
Oh, the Lions are still playing for playoffs, aren't they?
So are the Steelers.
Yeah. Well, the Steelers are looking to win their division.
Both of them are 8-6. Let's see what else we got here. Raiders at the Texans. What do you think?
At the Texans?
Yeah. As of right now, the lowest ticket price is
$58.
$102.
Hmm.
But see, I think the Raiders are that historic franchise. You'd love to see them come to town.
Yeah, I feel like that's a fan base that travels, so that'll probably increase ticket prices.
49ers at the Colts, Monday Night Football. Lowest ticket price is?
$307.
You paying $307 to see the Niners and the Colts?
I mean, it's those a 9-4 team and an 8-6 team. I mean, come on now.
It's a 10-4 team.
10-4, excuse me, yeah.
That's right. Tickets to those $117. Let's finish this off. This is really good radio. Thanks for sticking with us. Streaming numbers are off the chart right now. All right, Rams at Seahawks.
Rams at Seahawks, that's a pretty penny. I'm saying $300.
208.
Okay.
And the highest, good Lord, the highest ticket price as of right now is Saturday night. Packers at the Bears. What's the lowest ticket price for the Packers at the Bears?
$330.
It is $371. Saturday night, Soldier Field. Packers come to town pretty much for the division. I mean, that's going to be a heck of a game.
Yeah, I believe, what, Christian Watson has a chest and shoulder injury going on, so then they kind of have to rely on Matthew Golden. Obviously, Tucker Kraft went out earlier this year in the IR, so.
Wouldn't it be great if the Bears win because Byard has a game-saving interception?
What about a game-winning pick six?
Oh, even better.
Yeah.
Byard. You remember they got rid of Byard here in Nashville. They did a lot of good things here in Nashville. Because you're making too much money. Let's see if we can get you out the door a little bit.
And look, you mentioned a former Titan. What about Nick Westbrook-Ikhine? It seems like it hadn't worked out for him in Miami. For me, he was on a two-year deal. He signed in, what, 2025 of March? You think they cut ties with him after a year?
No.
No, he's going to ride it out?
Probably. No, they're not paying him a whole lot of money.
It's like $6.5 million.
Yeah. Good for him. Get that money. Get that money. God, remember what it was like to have a game here that meant something? Like a lot on the line?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Maybe one day. All right, we'll come back with America's favorite segment, What Day Is It? And Celebrity Birthdays, right here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, brought to you by our good friends at the Omni. Nashville Hotel will be down there Thursday. Come by and see us at Bar Lines. God, we love the Omni. And then we love Todd Rodermel. So see us on Thursday. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5 The Game. All right, welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show. Appreciate all the responses today for all the leap of faith. We got a ton of leap of faith ones. And Charles says, 1988, 6 months out of high school, long hair, going nowhere in life, no plans, no future, no friends, living with my aunt and uncle in Donaldson. Signed up for the Air Force, took a leap of faith, and completely changed my life. That's what we're talking about. Thank you, Charles, for sharing that. Again, we love all the responses every day on our text line, 615-737-1025. Got a ton of those today about what's the biggest leap of faith in your life. Even Tim Hasselbeck weighing in on that as well. With that being said, America's favorite segment, let's go.
All right, first on the list, we have National Chocolate Covered Anything Day. So anything you want with chocolate. Boston Tea Party Day is today. Barbie and Barney.
Go back up. Do you know why we have the Boston Tea Party?
Yeah, why?
Tell me. Does it not tell you?
No.
It's a protest, man. It gets tax.
Yeah.
They threw all the tea
in the
harbor.
Yeah.
Okay. Then how can you tell me you didn't know what you're talking about?
What are you talking about, Joe?
I said, explain the Boston Tea Party to
me. Oh, I'm sorry. No. I thought you said, is it on there? I was like, no, it's not on there. I was like, what are you asking me about? It's not on the.
Was Brian Rector your history teacher at Ryan?
No. I was done with history by senior year.
I bet you were.
But I didn't really take much classes senior year. Just kind of coasted by.
Oh, so that's what you do at Father Ryan? You just coast through school your senior year?
Essentially.
Well, you know, at McGavick, we worked hard every day.
You know what? I actually made a name for myself in college. Graduated cum laude.
Okay. Is that some Italian dish?
Yeah, it means you're a smart guy.
David Janes, the very esteemed producer of DVD, is sitting in for Chase for this segment.
Okay,
so
I'll continue. Thank you.
All right,
you.
Go ahead.
Stupid Toy Day is today. There's never a stupid toy. And, yeah, that's it. Only like five things on here.
That's all we got?
Yeah.
And I got very little birthdays. Maybe I have to talk to David Janes. All right, time for celebrity birthdays. David, you get to go first on our birthday list. How old, David, is William the Refrigerator Perry?
Oh, the fridge. He is... I'm going to go with 63.
70.
He's 63 exactly.
Woo!
David Janes up 2-0. Dr. Kring, how old is Billy Ripken, Cal's younger brother?
62.
I'm going to go with 65.
61. Dr. Kring, you're on the board. Well done. David James, how old is former Houston and Tennessee Oilers defensive back Daryl Lewis today?
Daryl Lewis is, 66.
59.
57. We're tied at two. Dr. Crane, how old is former NFL DB, three-time Pro Bowl, won a couple Super Bowls, Entrell Roll?
57.
I'm going to go with 60.
43.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right. Dr. Crane, how old is Benny Anderson? He's a founding member of the rock group ABBA.
David's or ABBA. Here.
I'm telling you.
Oh, excuse me.
I run celebrity birthdays, not you, pal.
I'm going to go 63.
I'm going to go with ABBA. Oh, gosh. 71.
79. Now, David James, how old is ZZ Top guitar man Billy Gibbons?
Billy Gibbons is 74.
71.
76. David James back on top, 3-2. Dr. Crane, how old is Benjamin Bratt? He's in one of those Law and Order SPF, whatever.
59.
63.
62.
Woo!
David James, killing it, 4-2. David James, how old is the very funny JB Smoove?
JB is, 58.
62.
He's 60. That's a push. We're not done yet. Here we go. Dr. Crane, how old's journalist Leslie Stahl, 60 Minutes?
59.
I'm going to go with 65.
84. David James, you're both wrong. Actress Allison LaPlaca. She was on the John Larroquette Show.
I have no idea who that is, but I'm going to guess 78.
81.
66. Oh. Dr. Crane, the very funny, very talented Sam Robards. He was great in White Lotus. How old is Sam Robards?
42.
45.
64. The last one we got here, how old, David James, is Michael McCrary? He's one of the singers of Boys to Men.
Oh, 65.
67.
54. With that, David James gets the win, 4-2.
Impressive.
Woo! I don't think you tried today, Dr. Crane.
I always try.
Anyway, yeah, David, congratulations.
Thank you.
What's coming up on DVD today?
So we got Trevor Madge at 4:20 and Barry Trotz at 5 o'clock.
Oh, you're going to ask Barry Trotz about Nick Saban?
You know what? They may ask that question. I don't know. I don't know what Adam D. Mace or Willie ask.
By the way, do you know that Trevor Madge played in the Super Bowl 20 versus the Bears?
I did not know that.
Yeah, and that was a bad game for Trevor and the Patriots.
Mm.
If you need any more just really dumb facts, just find me in my office.
I will.
David, thank you, brother.
No problem. Thank you guys for having me on.
All right, Dr. Crane, thank you as well.
Hey, thanks. It's always fun hanging out.
It's a pleasure. And I need you to fix my TV in my office when we're done here.
I can do that.
Thanks for all listening. DVD is next. Listen, we leave every show every day with our message about mental health. The guys out there, we tell you all the time how important, how beautiful, how wonderful you are. We mean that because our world is a better place because you are here. And I'm telling you, sometimes your road looks rocky. It looks bumpy. It looks really bad. But I'm telling you, get through that. There are smooth roads ahead, beautiful days ahead. We all go through these. I just need you to stay here with me. I need to go to your party. I need you to come to my party. I need to celebrate your success because you are wonderful. You are beautiful. And my God, we love you. And know that we love you more than important than anything in this world is that God loves you. Please know that. DVD's next.